This is Pastor Mike Ecclestone speaking, and I would like to welcome you to Heritage Baptist Church's online audio library. These messages are provided not as a substitute for the assembling of God's people, nor as a substitute for the regular reading of God's Word, but rather as a spiritual supplement for a deeper understanding of His Word. May He add His blessing as you listen. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Mark, chapter 14. Mark, chapter 14. It's being a Memorial Day weekend. Tomorrow being Memorial Day, we have much to be thankful for, the people that have given their lives, that we are able to live in a country such as this one at this point. And for we who are Bible believers are able to meet together like this without fear of persecution and a lot of other things. We've really blessed, and hopefully now maybe the tendency is going to be back to service and sacrificing yourself if you need to in order to keep our country free. Very important. For sure. But there's another type of memorial. And since we're in a church, I don't like to exalt our country over the faith. I myself personally am a conservative person.
that has nothing to do with the faith. It's just the way I live my life. And to confuse the two and say, well, if I'm a conservative, then I must be saved. No, some of the most conservative people are some of the most vile, filthy-mouthed people that I know. And that has nothing to do with it. So, has nothing to do with the message either. Mark chapter 14, and we'll read down through verse 9. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover, and of unleavened bread. And the chief priests and the scribes thought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard very precious. She brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me, for ye have the poor with you always. And whensoever ye will, you may do them good, but me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. We pray that you might bless it to our spiritual understanding. We thank you for the patriotic hymn. Thank you for the hymns of the faith. We thank you for the special and how well it was done and how it should draw us who are apart from you to come home, to come back to you. If there's anything that exists between ourselves and you, we need to make that right. And so I pray that our hearts are prepared already. We pray for the salvation of anybody here who might be lost, and that they might be saved during the course of even this message. And we pray that you would use the power of the gospel of Christ, as you always have, to do just that. He came for us. He lived a sinless life. He went to a cross for us. He shed his blood for us. He died for us. And he resurrected from the dead the third day for us. And gave us a gospel that was just for us, that we could be saved by grace through our faith in Christ alone. And we're glad for everyone here who is saved. We pray for anyone who's not, that they would come to that place here this morning as well. For we who are, speak to our hearts, and may you do a work within us that very obviously we cannot do ourselves. And we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I want to start with two questions. The first one is in reference to verse 14, verse 9, what caused Christ to say, verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she has done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her? What made her action so lasting? An extraordinary part of what you do in your life is quickly forgotten. Hold your place or go to James chapter 14, James chapter 4. I'll get all these passages right here in a second. James chapter 4 in verse 14. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. So the extraordinary thing that she did in her life, and talking about all the things that we do in our lives and how quickly they just vanish into the air, and like a vapor, and very little, if anything, is ever remembered by the generations that follow, even sometimes within family members. It's an amazing thing. You think, oh, we all remember individually, but how about beyond the next generation and the next generation? I mean, you look at this, we're dealing with almost 2,000 years. And this is spoken of a memorial for her. So here in Mark, we have the action of a woman, identified in John chapter 12 as Mary of Bethany, brother of Lazarus, sister to Lazarus, and sister to Martha. And that action has lasted through scores of generations. I mean, we're reading about it today, and I think it still goes on. So taking this vivid historical account, what I want to do is look at what applications can be made of her actions that our lives might be acceptable to the Lord in the Christian life, and that we might lead some kind of legacy to those who come after us. I mean, you think about this. What am I leaving for this next generation? Whether it be family-wise or spiritually-wise. What am I leaving for them? Am I even planning to leave anything for them? Well, there's some points here. Number one, the reason that this verse 9 is said is because she gave out of a deep love for Christ. You know, or let's put it this way, you better know that God judges the motives behind everything we do, everything that we think. Especially if we're God's children, obviously, through faith in Christ. Why do we do the things that we do? In 1 Chronicles chapter 28. The Lord is speaking to Solomon. 1 Chronicles chapter 28 makes a very amazing statement. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, I'll get there in a second, and go down here to verse 9. And thou, Solomon, and speaking to Solomon through David, obviously. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. If thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Now, Old Testament, Israel being an earthly people, I would never put that verse in reference to salvation, but something far different than that. But he's talking about giving of yourself. And if you give of yourself, God is going to do something. And if you don't, God's going to do something again. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we'll begin reading here in verse 11. 1 Corinthians 3:11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If a man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. All right, so speaking to saved people, you have the right motive behind what you're doing. God equates that with gold, silver, precious stone. You have the wrong motive for what you're doing. God equates that with wood, hay, and stubble. Still means you're saved, but I believe that you're going to find some troublesome times, some sorrows, some pains that you normally wouldn't. And at the end, loss of rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. All has to do with why you do what you do. Mary was serving here in the book of Mark from the depth of her heart. And she poured this very expensive ointment on his head to honor him personally. And every drop of it was for him. All of it was done out of great reverence for the person of Jesus Christ. Now, if you follow the raising of Lazarus occurred not long before, and so all of this is playing into this. Her heart was filled with gratitude and love, and therefore she had to do something. It's the same thing today. Whatever is in your heart comes out. It doesn't stay there. You can mask it for a while, but eventually it has to come out. It could be good or it could be evil. But whatever's there has to come out. If there's nothing there, you're spiritually dead. Just dead. You've got something has to come out. And what was in her heart came out in this act. No one told her to do it. Matter of fact, they scorned her for what she did anyway. But she gave out of a heart of love. I would want for myself, I would want for you to serve the Lord with that same motive. Not because somebody forces you to do it or tells you to do it or reads something says you're required to do it, but because of the great love that you have for the Lord Jesus Christ in the Christian life. Secondly, she gave irrespective of the critics of her actions. And there were critics. I have found if you do the right thing, you're going to have critics. If you do the wrong thing, you'll get praise. But you'll get critics if you do the right thing. There were two distinct things that brought the criticism. One was not just merely the breaking of the alabaster box of the ointment, but it was a social sin. You see, in the day in which the public ministry of Christ, women in that day were required to stay in the background. They were like, when I was raised, children should be seen and not heard. And so that was the opinion back then. They were never to be the center of attention. It's like a modern-day Muslim and Sharia law. The women are nothing, and certainly they would scorn this as well. Well, in breaking the box and pouring the ointment, guess where she was? She was center stage right before the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was intolerable. That was not to happen. But she wasn't concerned what they thought. And one of these people we know from the other Gospels was Judas Iscariot. And we all know what he was in John chapter 12. She was concerned for the Lord and was doing what she thought was the right thing to do providentially, and concerned about what he thought. Is there any doubt to you that he was everything to her? Or do you think this was just a ploy? This is just something she just, wanted the attention. Go with me to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Pentecost has come and gone. The gospel is starting to be spread. We have the account of chapter 2, 3,000 people being saved and baptized. Chapter 4, 5,000, or is it chapter 5? 5,000 men being saved, So we've got at least 8,000 that are being saved, and there is now unrest, persecution. And in verse 13, Acts chapter 4, verse 13, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, 'What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle had been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem. We cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name.'" In his name. Is there any doubt as to what's going on today is not very different than what's went on then? "And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, 'Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard.'" Let me ask you, what have you seen and what have you heard? If you haven't seen who the Lord is, if you haven't seen salvation by grace through faith, if you haven't heard it from the pulpit, if you haven't read it in a devotion book, and you have nothing to say, then you have a reason, because you have nothing. But if we have heard this and we have seen this, then we need to speak. We need to act. And this is what I believe that she was doing, irrespective of the critics. It's the right thing to do. All right. Secondly, the second thing that came out about this was they murmured against her in verse 4 and 5. We'll take the last phrase there. "And they murmured against her. Look at this waste. Look at what money could have been gained by taking that, giving it to us in the ministry and us selling it. How much money we would have made. Look how much we could have given to the poor. Please, this thing is so lame. If you give it to me, I know what to do with it, and I'll distribute it to the poor." Judas? Distributing to the poor? No, Judas in this pocket, and not to the poor. Right. And look at the Lord's response. I mean, this was quick. Verse 6, "And Jesus said, 'Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me.'" Abraham Lincoln, the President Abraham Lincoln, said it one time, and I'm quoting, I do the very best I can. I mean to keep going. If the end bring me out all right, then what is said against me won't matter. If I'm wrong, 10 angels swearing I was right won't make any difference. You do the best you can with what you have to work with from the Scripture, and you leave it there. And if somebody criticizes you, they criticize you, because you're not going to answer to them at the judgment seat of Christ, are you? We're going to answer to the Lord Jesus Christ. And hold your place in Mark. Let me do two things at the same time. Isaiah 51. Isaiah chapter 51. And then we'll go to Galatians 1. Isaiah chapter 51 and verse 7. "Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be ye afraid of their revilings." If that was good for the prophet, that should be good for us. But the key to that is knowing righteousness. You can't take that verse and use it apart from being righteous. But if you're righteous, when the reviling comes and the criticism comes, let it come. Just keep on doing what's right. If you know what's right, because that's what righteousness is, right living. All right, Galatians chapter 1. And look down here in verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Anybody not understand that? You want to be a man pleaser? You can't be a God pleaser. There's a lot of people that are in ministries outside of churches and in churches that need to let that get into their heart. Because they're there, many of them, I'm not judging them all, for one thing, and it's money. And to gain money, you can't say certain things, and you must say other things. You want to be a man pleaser? And what did Paul just do? He took them to task on the gospel. How could this be that I gave you the gospel, you were saved by the gospel of Christ, and now suddenly these other people came in, and now you're believing another gospel? That doesn't fit into the guy that went around and told people how to be likable before other people. Sometimes you have to say things that are contrary to the very things that are going on, and they're the right thing to do. And you can't fear man. They're not going to like what you do, no matter when it is. I don't know how prevalent it is today. I think it's taken root where you don't give people the gospel when you meet them. You show them through your life how Christianity works. And somewhere down the road, they're going to look at you and say, what is it that you have? I really want that. Well, you know what's going to happen when you give them the gospel, let's say 5 years after they've watched you? They're going to say, why didn't you tell me before? Why didn't you tell me that in the beginning? And if you think they're not going to be offended then, as there, you're mistaken. The gospel offends. If you think, oh no, I can't do that, I just have to smooth it over and then they'll just see my life. There are many people that have gone to hell watching the lives of saved people because they don't want any part of that. Your life is supposed to be different. Someone, when the British preacher, George Whitefield, was in his heyday, very popular, mostly in Britain, but then in here as well, somebody wrote him a scathing, vicious letter and condemned him for something that he had done. And so Whitfield read it, and then he sat down and penned his own letter. And in that letter he said, I know more things that are far worse than what you accused me of in my life personally. And you can't accuse me of anything worse than what I know of myself. So I look and I say, for us, are we seeking to please Christ or ourselves? If it's man, if it's ourselves, we're not the servants of Christ. We're just not. All right, number three, she gave selflessly without thought of recognition or reward. Or, let's go even further, by the prosperity crowd, it means if I break this and I pour this on his head, and therefore I'm giving that to him, he's going to reward me with double and triple and quadruple. It's always something. There's always a gimmick that you can get back what you've given. Do you know, when you love, it's not on the basis of what you get, but what you give, whether or not you get anything back at all. And that's very important. So I believe that what she gave was just that. She gave it. She wasn't thinking, I'm going to get a reward. I'm going to get more than a reward. I might even get two boxes of ointment or three. Now, I don't know exactly how this box with the oil in it was fashioned. But I tend to think that it was either a glass container or a clay flask type of container. More likely the clay. But when you break that, it's near impossible to control what spills out. I mean, when it breaks, it breaks. And you can't save what's poured out. It's spent. That's it. It's gone. There's no getting it back. When she broke it, there was no thought of what have I done? It's all there. I didn't mean to give it all. I need to scrape up something to put it. No, it all went on his head and it went down his body. We who say that we're saved, we who say that we are people who love the Lord, don't you think that we are to give our all to Christ? Not for reward of motivation, but because of what He has done for us. If you were fortunate enough to grow up in a Christian home and were saved at a young age, sometimes you don't see the gravity of what all He's done for us. But a person that's grown up lost and then gets saved, oftentimes can't grasp the depth of His love for us and how much more there is to do, how much closer there is to get to Him. And this is what I think is here. It's not because of necessarily what is in me, but I know that what she did was the right thing to do. And to serve Him with all that we have is the right thing to do. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5. As our Lord and Savior, if we're saved, we are to love Him. I don't understand how we would not. But, you know, there's a lot of things going on today that are far different than what they used to. All right, verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. It's all stayed displayed for us. It's laid out so that you can understand this. He wants your best, whatever that may be. And since He wants your best, give Him your best. And give Him your best now. You say, well, I'm not ready to give Him my best now. Well, when is ready? Well, I've got a few things to... No, you don't. You can give Him your best now. You can give Him your best this afternoon, tonight, all week. Can't talk about yesterday and anything else, but you can give Him your best now. Not for 45 minutes here, but always. He wants your best. Give it to Him. He owns you. He bought you with His precious blood. He wants what you have been given. So give Him what you've been given. I've been given time to serve the Lord. I don't know when that time's going to run out, but I've been given time to serve Him. I don't have to serve Him as a pastor, but I have been given time to serve Him. When is that going to run out? I have no idea. Why don't I give Him the best of my time? Talent, ability. He's given every one of us some talent, some ability, so give Him the best of it. Not the dregs, our finances. Our material possessions. Let's give back to Him some of what He's given to us. Give the best of it. Again, not the opposite end. Now, what you have may be a lot, it may be minuscule. So we're not talking about the amount. We're talking about what you've been given. Give back to Him. Give the best of what you've got. Because He's due the best. This is a dumb analogy, but I remember reading about Ty Cobb, who was quite the baseball player, professional baseball player. And he said, I love being my best when I play ball. We should love being our best in the Christian life. I should love being the best, to give the best that I have. Sometimes the best gets a little worn down. The Lord knows that. But you give your best. When we did the front bathrooms, initially we just wanted to do one handicapped bathroom. County wouldn't let us do it. They said you got to have separate and you have to have two. And you can have a handicapped on both sides, but then you have to have another facility. All right. So we did that. They got that ready. We did the roof. We did the roof. And then we decided we'll roof this to make it like that. And so I asked if anybody wanted to help. I'd be more than glad to let you help and show you what to do. Well, the pitch is 512. And so Sue's husband, Charles's brother, Perry, shows up. And so I'm up on the roof, and he says, "I'm coming up." I said, "Are you sure?" He said, "Yes, I really want to help." I said, "Okay." So he came up, and he crawled up until where we had the shingles going. And then he got a few shingles out, and he was just tapping them, tap, 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 tap. I said, "You need to hit it." "Well, I am." I said, "No, wail on it. Make sure you hit the head, not your finger." And so he did a few, and I could see he can't do this. And so how do you tell somebody that really wants to do this that they can't? Because he couldn't stand up. He was afraid to stand up. And I was afraid for him to stand up that he just rolled off the roof. But you know what? I appreciated his intentions more than somebody who had great ability, because he just wanted to help. He wanted to do something. And that's the kind of spirit we should have. Show me, is there anything that I can do? Show me what I can do. If I can do it well, I'll do it well. I'm grateful. Brother Vic told me years ago that I never preached to empty pews. And I thought that was really interesting. And I've kept up with that. There are people that aren't here. I'm not preaching to them. There are people that are watching. I'm preaching to them. There are people that are not here that aren't watching and aren't going to watch, and I'm not preaching to them. I'm preaching to you who are here and who are watching, and to myself. And I know full well that there's a minority of people that will help. Some people won't lift finger one. I understand that. You know, those are things that other people, every one of us have to answer for, even if you've got the ability to do it. And then, again, your abilities may be small. Your finances may be small. It doesn't matter. What matters is you give him your best. All right, verse 9. Let's go down here to verse 9. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she has done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. There is a direct link to the gospel message in what she did here. As for her selfless act, it is still remembered by verse 8. She has done what she could. Actually, she did more than. Likewise, we are to deal with the gospel in the same manner. Same exact manner. You do what you can, where you are, with what you have to work with. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Look at verse 4. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. Now, this is not a legal issue. This would be the same as if, you remember the old Jack and the Beanstalk? And the mother entrusted the boy Jack with a certain amount of money to go and bring back food or something like that. And so she entrusted him to do that. He didn't do that. They brought back seeds. And the story goes crazy. But understand that God has entrusted you with the truth of the gospel. And me, all of us. Even so we speak. Tracts are great. Even so we speak. Explain the tract. Tell people what it says. Tell people, and you better know what it says. If you don't know what it says, how can you speak? And how to be saved. All of this is very important. Not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. So you do what you do because of God, not what somebody's going to think of you or to be seen. You shouldn't have to be coerced. You shouldn't have to be forced to witness or to give the gospel in church or in Sunday school or in junior church or at church functions or wherever. You shouldn't feel that pressure. I have to do this. It should be, I want to see somebody saved. I want somebody to have what I have. They've got to have that. Don't you want people to have what you have after you were saved? If you don't, there's something wrong with you. Somebody that's usually not doing anything can criticize others doing what they can. And that's usually how it happens. Oh, did you see so-and-so doing this? Yeah, well, what are you doing? Well, I'm not doing anything. But I don't think they should be doing that. Then don't say anything. And you that are doing something, keep doing what you're doing. What you can. Listen, there are far too many people that don't share your concern for souls. They just don't. Are you saying that? Are they saved people? Yeah, probably are. But they don't care about anybody else. One more time. Christ gave his all for us. What did he hold back? Did he hold back anything? No. What can I give him other than myself? In Proverbs, Solomon was saying, "My son, give me thine heart." That's what the Lord wants. If he gets your heart, he's got you. If he doesn't have your heart, he doesn't have you. I may suffer. I may be misunderstood. I may be injured. I may be jailed. I may be criticized. I may not have as much as the world has. But what is that compared to the future glory that will be revealed in us? Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I was very young in the pastorate in our church in Montana. One of the people that families that started coming to our church had two girls. He was a teacher. She was a teacher. She was a phys ed teacher. He taught a lot of different subjects in the school out and about the next town over. She was pregnant and gave birth to a little girl. And Kurt called me from the hospital and he says, "Can you get over here? Something's happened. Something really bad's happened." And so I did, and the baby was born with all the intestines outside the body. And so he had to leave. So I was there with his wife, and I was just trying to think in my mind, what can I say that can bring any comfort at all? And I came up with verse 18, which is one of my favorite verses. Romans chapter 8, verse 18, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." That kind of puts everything in perspective. I wasn't trying to minimize her pain or try to say things that I had no clue as to what was going on. But listen, service that costs you nothing usually results in little to nothing. That's the sum total of it. Service that costs you nothing. No time, no sacrifice, no talent, nothing, you know, financially. Usually results in very little to nothing. One more verse and we're done. Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. We have a day which in which our country, if you notice the flyleaf in the bulletin, gave the history of our Memorial Day, a time where we remember those who have given their lives. In this Mark chapter 14, we remember what this lady did for the Lord Jesus Christ, with a direct link to what we should be doing in our lives and with the gospel. Proverbs chapter, 10? Look at verse 7. The memory of the just is blessed. You have to put that in context. The memory of the just is blessed insofar as, oh, I know they're with the Lord. Okay, I think it goes farther than that. I believe this is the one that talks about not only giving, 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 giving. Not just money, yourself. Your all. What you can do. Listen, we're not to be judged on that we have to have a lot of talent insofar as professional. We have to have a professional choir. We have to have a professional musicians. We have to have a professional preacher. We go with what we have. We do with what we have to work with. The memory of the just is blessed. You give your best. But look at the other side. But the name of the wicked shall rot. Because there's nothing. This is all there is. There's nothing beyond this. So they put everything into this, and then they die like something that doesn't have a soul. So on a time when we're thinking of memorials, it could have gone into Judges and the stones and some other places as well. Let's pay attention to a woman by the name of Mary of Bethany who gave, in all likelihood, these are inherited. These are like a dowry that are given when you get married. And it was so expensive that many times it just kept being handed down to the next generation because nobody wanted to part with. And as each generation went, the expense got higher and higher. And she just took and broke that and poured it on our Lord's head, signifying, of course, the time of his burying. Think of what she did. And think of what the Lord said about what she did. She did what she could. Are we doing what we could? There's still time. Not that you want to make a name for yourself in front of us, but with the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we come here. We've been here. I thank you for the spirit that exists here. And pray that you would and have been moving upon our hearts here this morning. Not to elicit a response in an invitation, but that response would be natural, spiritual. And that we would see ourselves hopefully not as caught up in the affairs of this life, which are numerous, and drowning out, strangling the best that you want from us. Wherever we are spiritually this morning, as saved people, I just pray that we would spend some time with you. And not promise to do something, but actually do it. If we're here without Christ, I pray that no one would make the mistake of thinking that they can help you out. Christ did it all. Jesus paid it all. His blood made atonement for every sin, past, present, and future. He suffered the punishment of hell for us. He gives us the opportunity to be saved by trusting Jesus Christ as our Savior. Apart from anything and everything else, and understanding that being saved doesn't end at all. It's the beginning of a new life in which we can give you our very best, whatever that may be. So, Father, we'd ask that you have your way in the invitation here this morning. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is Pastor Eccleston again. I trust that the preceding message was a spiritual blessing to you. If God has spoken to your heart, I encourage you to respond in whatever area He is leading. You know, there's no more important issue than your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you sense your need to trust Him as your personal Savior, He will save you if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith in His finished work to pay for the full debt of your sin. Please call us or write us or email us in this most important matter or any other spiritual matter. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Are you seeking the Lord? I truly hope so.